And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to J-Guys and Jedi, a bi-weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. There will be a prequel reunion this week that's like the Breakfast Club in space.
Hey, you know what? Somewhere in a mirror universe, there's a podcast called Gay Guys and Jedis, a bisexual podcast of...
I'm glad you didn't say anything about my bad Breakfast Club line. I didn't know what to write there, and it was like 3 a.m., and I was like, I don't give a damn. Like, I don't care. I want to get on to Rookies. Because so, I always write those last, that like little, like, this will be a blah, 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 blah. So.
Rookies is going to be a special episode in a couple weeks, you guys. Yeah. We might have to have smelling salts for hope for that one.
Oh, for next week's episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably
or this week, it. For that matter, we might just have some Rexall brand smelling salts for when and a fainting couch for hope.
I'm gonna take a drink every time you can make a Rex.
Oh, jeez. Good luck with that, guys.
So this week we're talking about Destroy Malevolence. It's the last of the Malevolence arc. So are you ready to get into this one?
I'm already into it.
All right, so. Destroy Malevolence was the fourth episode of The Clone Wars. It was directed by Brian Callen O'Connell and was written by Tim Burns. Yeah, Tim Burns. The title was first revealed on Anthony Daniels' website. The original script included scenes where Quarsh Panaka was captured and brutally murdered by General Grievous, a lightsaber duel between Grievous and Plo Koon, and the Jedi sneaking on board by freezing themselves in carbonite. The carbonite was later used in the Citadel episodes. This is the first time all the prequel characters of Obi-Wan, Padme, Anakin, C-3PO, and R2-D2 have appeared in the same episode together, which is why I made a Breakfast Club pun. I don't know.
Makes sense.
I don't know. But those were just some of the scenes that were cut from this episode. Though I do think it'd been really, really super cool.
Someday maybe they will base one of the Rebels episodes on the Breakfast Club for real and...
I just see
Ezra like scratching his head and his dandruff falling down under his notepad.
And then doing all the dance, and at the end, Hera's just like, yes, 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 yes. And Kanan just has a boner.
Kanan's the teacher who comes in and yells at him every time.
No, that's Tarkin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, even better. Yes.
Hey, you rebels, sit down. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Someone please draw this.
Yeah, right.
And send it to us. We'll take full credit. Oh, no, because Sabine would be the little rebel girl, the little dandruff girl, and then Zeb, I guess. I don't know. I guess Zeb would be the athlete, and then Kanan would be, I don't know. I guess Ezra would be the weird guy, like the nerd guy, because he's kind of odd. And then Kanan would be Jeb Nelson's, is that his name? Judd Nelson's character, because he's already described as a cowboy Jedi, so he's kind of a rebel anyway.
Well, maybe Jeb should be him, just because his name's almost like Judd.
Nah. And I'm running around the school. Yeah, anyway. Sorry, I choked on coffee. I was laughing. So, as always, we always start our episodes with the inspirational words of wisdom. You ready for this, Chris?
Oh, I'm always ready. In, of course, bad Yoda voice.
A plan is only as good as those who see it through in bed.
So far, they're still working.
Oh, the next one.
Come back next week. It's the best one of all so far.
So far, I was laughing as I was writing.
I was writing it down when I was taking my notes, going, "Oh, this is a good one."
All right, so to begin, Destroy Malevolence. Act 1. Grievous is retreating from the battle of the previous episode as the Malevolence is damaged. The Jedi pursue him in an attempt to capture him. The ship is so massive that three Republic cruisers are having trouble destroying the vessel. With no reinforcements coming, it's up to Anakin, Obi-Wan, Plo Koon, and Ahsoka to stop Grievous. Count Dooku has arranged a trap to bail out his lackey despite Grievous's plea for his master not to intervene. We see Padme and C-3PO leaping out of hyperspace right into the middle of this battle. Grievous pulls her into the Malevolence as a hostage.
Yeah, the opening scene and the music of this vaguely reminded me of, like, Nazi propaganda films.
Mm-hmm.
Like Leni Riefenstahl movies. Once again, I just love the color in this. Like, it starts right off where it left off, and I love that Grievous's ship, they can just pound away at it. The whole ship's, like, on fire. It's fire shooting out of every... And he's just, like, plodding along, like, well, once we get the hyperdrives fixed, no problem. You know, meanwhile, his whole ship is burning, and it's just like... Of course, they're all droids on the ship, so a little fire, you know, it just is warmer for them.
My thing is like, you have that opening shot, and, like, the Malevolence is, like, floating away, and it has all the rocket boosters, like 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of a board game I played very recently called Galaxy Trucker. And the whole point of this board game is you have all the pieces face down, and you have 60 seconds to grab pieces and build yourself a rocket ship. And then once you build your rocket ship, you go through rounds of missions, and depending on how well you build your rocket ship is how well you did in missions. Well, I had one round where all I could grab was, like, the rocket boosters. Like, I had no guns, like, two shields, but it had, like, 12 rocket boosters.
So it's, like, this little tiny, tiny ship with, like, 12 rockets wrapped around it?
Exactly. Like, they were coming out of the sides and the back, because that's all I could grab at that time. And that's what it reminded me of. And I just feel like the animators were like, is this enough rockets on the Malevolence? Now let's add, like, 5 more. Like, that's what it reminded me of. But I also was wondering, like, where do they build all these really massive things? Like, I know space is the answer, but I just had this, like, mental image of some, like, Twi'lek family just driving through the galaxy, and they look out their windows, and there's, like, a Death Star being built, and they're, like, locking their doors and driving away faster.
Didn't see that, yeah.
Kids, don't look at it.
What's up, Mommy? It's nothing. Just keep going.
I told you we should have took exit 5.
It's a moon. It's a moon, I swear.
But, like, where do they build these massive things?
I'm guessing, I guess it wasn't the Geonosian. Well, the Geonosians might have been responsible for the Malevolence.
That's true. I figure they have, like, a planet where they build stuff on. Like, there's so many planets in the Separatist, like, things. But I feel like somehow, like, someone would see it being built. Because, like... I mean, as we see in later episodes of Clone Wars, like, even though you're a Separatist, not all of them are evil. They just don't agree with the views of the Republic, like in the case of, like, Lux and his mom. But, and so, like, we know that not everybody's evil, so I feel like there's someone that, like, is still good, who lives on a Separatist planet, who doesn't agree with the Separatists, sees a big-ass ship being built and going, huh.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't remember 2 episodes back, but did they had intelligence on the Malevolence? Or no, they didn't. It just sort of showed up and started
crushing them. They just knew that there was a super weapon out there, but that was destroying their fleet, but they didn't know what it was.
They didn't find out about it till it showed up and started messing them up. Yeah, I just always figure they have some sort of, like, little planetary system where they have a planet with a bunch of moons and, like, they're mining the moons and they just have a big sort of structure, you know, cage that they build whatever they're building in, ship it out. They probably just have a big digital printer.
A 3D printer.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Emperor's just watching, because it takes, like, hours to do 3D printer printing, and he's just watching for weeks.
Sitting there on his throne. How's it coming? It just looks like a bowl now. Another 6 weeks.
But we have a cool skate park now.
Yeah.
Like, the Emperor's just like, I'll show you how to rip, and, like, goes down on his skateboard. Ha! Palpatine! Oh my god. Those dumbass hoverboards. I hate those things.
Oh, can we talk about how awesome Grievous and his ship are?
Yes, because I'm going to go crazy next episode. So, yes, your Grievous love.
I love
Get your Grievous boners all the way.
I love that Grievous has his own ship, that everybody's a robot, and whenever they all walk around, it's just like clank, 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 clank. I love that he's got his own little open subway system, that, you know, train subway system to get from one end of it to the other. I love
that. Is very cool. Like, the ship is so massive that it has a subway system.
And screw it, they're all he's Grievous, so he doesn't care. He doesn't wait for it to stop. He just leaps on to the next available open platform on it, and he can stand there with his cape flapping behind him as he goes up to, you know.
I do really like Grievous's cape. It's really silly to me, and I like it.
And with the animation at the level, it's funny, before we started the show, you just showed me a clip from the new Rebels coming up, and I just noticed how, it might not even be the animation, but they've gotten, like, a lot more shading, and you can just see how the technology's come along in the last 7 or 8 years.
I meant to mention it, like, last episode, but it's in the same note. Like, I realized how many freckles Rex has, like, old Rex, like, Grunkle Rex.
Mm-hmm.
He has so many freckles. It's really cute. And I remember just, like, pausing it and just staring at him. Like, that's something that wouldn't have been in Clone Wars, is having a character
right
with that kind of freckle palette.
Right, where they're, you know, where they're getting old guys there and taking scanning the back of their neck and stuff to get that. Well, it's a skin, like in a video game, you know, just a sort of pattern.
Yeah.
But at this point in this early CG, Grievous just looks you know, the inside of the ship is all robots, Grievous, and mechanical things, so it just looks really good. You know, it's easier to animate that stuff and have it look realistic. And I love his subway. I love how this episode starts out with lots of Grievous, and Amidala's back, but at least she's more proactive, and she's more the character that we got in episode 2, you know? She's a damsel in distress for the first 5 minutes when she pops out of space and, you know, has been tricked and is getting caught in the tractor beam, which I love. You know, they always talk about tractor beams in movies, but this shot in here, you actually see the tractor beam in action, and her ship sort of wobbling and fighting it and getting pulled back. And
yeah, so that's a good point, because a lot of times it's just like, yep, it's nice and chill, and she's like fighting it.
Yeah,
and it's like wobbling.
This, you're actually seeing someone in the tractor beam fighting, and so it just has such a great start to it. You know, I'm glad to see, you know, that, and it's almost, I was watching it and I'm like, oh man, she's got 3PO with her. That's going to hold her back, you know? And
yeah,
so she has to deal with herself on a droid ship with 3PO. I'm getting ahead of ourselves though.
I had no, on the Grievous note, this is the beginning of me hating Grievous, as his hubris is literally burning up into flames.
Mm-hmm.
His usefulness just starts going way down.
Yeah, that's exactly what Dooku's thinking when they're talking to each other. He's just like, oh, jeez. And he's like trying to bail him out, and Grievous is like, no, it's fine. And meanwhile, you know,
everything's on fire.
You can literally see flames and outgassing on all areas of his ship.
Are you familiar with video games at all?
I know what they are.
So,
I play
do you
Pac-Man.
Know what The Legend of Zelda is?
Yes. I've never played it, but my roommate just handed me my first Zelda game to play on my DS.
Oh, which one?
Hang on, I'll tell you. It's sitting right here. It is Zelda Phantom Hourglass.
Oh, that's a good one. You're going to have fun.
I've never played a Zelda game before, so she's...
Though Ocarina of Time is still the greatest Zelda game of all time. If anybody disagrees, fight me. Like, Ocarina of Time is the greatest Zelda game ever made. If not one of the best video games ever made. Anyway, the whole, like, fire thing in the behind, there's a band called Starbomb, and it's made of the guys from Game Grumps. And they have a song called The Hero of Rhyme. And in The Hero of Rhyme, Navi's like, Link, we need you to save everybody with your skills. And he's like, my skills? Oh, snap! And he, like, busts into this, like, long rap battle with Ganon. He's just like, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna beat you up. I'm gonna kick you in the balls. And just, like, having this long rap battle. And at the end, he's like, yeah, that do anything for you? Everything's on fire! And that's what it just reminded me of.
I wondered where that was going.
Everything's on fire! The only other note I had in this section is, I know that the audience knows that, and everybody in the Star Wars universe knows, that Padme and Anakin have been friends since he was a kid. And even before he was a Jedi, they've been friends, and I get that. But Anakin and Padme are, like, just not subtle about anything. Like, anything. And it bugs me so much that at least Obi-Wan, of all people, does not pick up on their marriage.
I don't know if Obi-Wan didn't pick up on their marriage and just sort of let it slide and was like, okay, I'm not going to say anything if they're not going to say anything. I sort of was picking up hints of that in episode 3.
Yeah.
You know? But,
because the only other time I can think of that it actually comes up, sort of, was there's a season 6 arc. Have you seen through season 5?
No.
Damn it. Well, there's a moment in season 6 where Obi-Wan's just like, so you and Padme. And Anakin's like, I don't want to talk about it. He's like, okay.
Somebody was online spoiling the later episodes with me going, so in Clone Wars, you know, we find out how Yoda becomes a Force ghost, and I'm like, what?
Yes, it is the final arc.
So tempted to watch that.
You should go ahead and at least finish the series, so I don't have to keep doing this. I just want you to discover it naturally. I don't want you to get like go ahead and like start watching them, Chris.
Well, there's like actually since we've started this, like either coincidentally or because of the show, there's a bunch of people who have been starting up watching Clone Wars, so it's sort of fun. For me, it's not really that much in the first 3 seasons, because probably 4 seasons I've watched. So, but yeah, I'm kind of excited on like getting to a point where it's going to be like new material. It was sort of happening in our Star Trek.
You should at least get through it.
Yeah.
So I don't spoil it for you.
Just random.
Because I'm really bad at this. Like, if I was ever in a Marvel movie, I'd be like, go to Comic-Con and be like, yes, I can't tell you spoilers about how Captain America is secretly a lady.
Yeah,
and I'd
you'd
be
have
like,
to
oh,
be
God.
Locked away till the movie came out, basically. You'd be in a cell somewhere till the movie came out.
Yeah, I'm so bad at keeping stuff like that, so please, for my sake. Because the only ones I haven't watched is Utapau and Bad Batch. Those are the only Clone Wars things I haven't watched. And then I really want to read Son of Dathomir, but I'm having trouble finding it. I know I could easily buy the book, but I'm looking for the single issues because I'm that kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's Clone Wars material. And then I kind of want to get the Asajj Ventress Quinlan Vos book. And I just haven't got it yet. Because the later half of what would have been season 6, Asajj Ventress and Quinlan Vos go on an adventure together. And apparently there was romance. And I was just like, yes! Yay! So, like, I've been meaning to get that book. But, like, really, that's the only thing. But I'm holding myself out on watching Bad Batch and Utapau.
Just to have something new to watch the first time?
Yeah. Mostly because since I'm reviewing it for What the Fangirl, I'm waiting till I get caught up to that. And that way it's brand new and fresh when I review it.
Yep. I had one Star Trek The Original Series episode that was like that I'd never seen. And it was so great. You know, 30 years later on Star Trek Monthly Monday, when we got to that episode, and it's like, all right, I'm going to finally watch the one I've never seen before.
Yeah. I mean, I know what happens in them. I know Utapau is all about how they find the Kyber crystal for the Death Star. And then Bad Batch is when a character who they thought had died comes back, and Rex is like, I must save him. So, but that's all I really know about it. And they're, like, unfinished episodes, too, so.
Oh, okay, so they're in that weird sort of where characters don't walk from one place to another. They just sort of.
And their mouths don't move. You just see them glide across the screen and then, like, turn, like, toys towards each other. And you're just like, burr, 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 burr.
I've seen a couple clips of those. I might have to, like, watch a few of them before I start getting into the flow of watching.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. I had nothing else in this first section, only just because not a lot happens. It was like 3 very fast minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have anything else?
No, I'm ready to move on to Act 2, the best part of the whole thing, in my opinion.
So, Padme realizes she's in a trap. She overloads her ship's power system and flees with C-3PO. Grievous arrives in time to get blown up. He sounds the alarm to find the senator. It becomes a race against time, as the Malevolence hyperdrive wasn't as badly damaged as originally thought. They can flee shortly with Padme on board. Anakin and Obi-Wan head out to save Padme from the Malevolence. Knowing that the droids are busy repairing the ship, they are able to sneak on board. They make plans to meet each other in the center of the ship for their escape. Jumping onto the monorails, Anakin goes to save Padme. Her bridge is shot off, but Anakin uses the Force to guide her to him. Reunited, they share a kiss. Obi-Wan heads after C-3PO, but is separated from the droid. Padme tells them Grievous is preparing the hyperdrive. Obi-Wan says he'll make sure it's offline. Little do they know, Grievous is listening in on them.
Ha 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 ha. Oh, ha ha ha.
I just had to laugh at the part where, like, Grievous steps off the monorail, and the monorail system has a mind the gap warning. In the background, you're just going, mind the gap, mind the gap, mind the gap. And I'm like, why do you have this on your ship?
Yeah, just program it into all the droids.
Mind the gap. Roger, roger.
Yeah.
What did you have with this section?
This is my favorite part. When I was watching this, I was thinking, oh, yeah, this is a three-part arc. And this is all taking place, I'm assuming, before Ahsoka became...
No, she's on the ship with Plo Koon.
She's on... Okay, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, she's on the ship with Plo Koon.
About this time in this episode, I started thinking, this might have made a better three episodes to lash together for the movie when they made the movie.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I think this the whole chase on the train is just fantastic. It's sort of like a better version than the chase through the factory in episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that great scene with Grievous, you know, that mirrors the scene in episode 3 where, you know, Obi-Wan drops down and Grievous looks at him and goes, hello there, and, you know, just reverses the whole scene in episode 3 with Obi-Wan saying hello there. And I thought that was really great because it changed the scene in episode 3. It made the scene in episode 3 Obi-Wan, you know, mocking that the last time he and Grievous tangled by echoing his line. So I really like that. And I just love the bridge on the Malevolence. I love how everything's lit red, big round red displays. It's just beautiful. And once again, poor Padme has to walk around with C-3PO and actually hide with him and stuff like that. What a pain in the ass, man.
I'm gonna say this now. I'm not much of a droid person. I R2-D2's cute and C-3PO is cool, but I've never been much of a droid person. But I also have a terrible phobia of artificial intelligence and AI.
Okay.
I have a legitimate phobia of artificial intelligence. Like, I love my computer, but if it ever comes sentient, I'm throwing it out the window and I'm running over at my car and I'm lighting it on fire and then I'm pissing on it. It's not gonna happen. I've just never been much of a droid person. And there's an arc in season 5 which is nothing but droids, and it's the absolutely most boring arc in the world to me, and I hate it.
I hate it.
I do. So when it comes to C-3PO stuff, I get that he's funny and I get that he's a good story, but I also always feel like he's a liability, so I don't know why they always bring him on stuff. I just want him to have super speeder running mode. He shuffles along really fast.
He's always loud. He complains. I mean, back in the early if you watch Star Wars, you'll notice C-3PO kind of will jog from one place to another, but that was probably the early days in the suit, and probably at the end of the day that he was jogging around in the suit, it was probably almost a physical collapse. He was probably had pinch marks all over the place. So I noticed C-3PO keeps getting slower, and Anthony Daniels keeps getting older and older too, but his walking style becomes more shuffly and slow as time goes on and the reality of the suit catches up.
Yeah, I don't know why they always have to put in C-3PO. And then there are certain arcs that make sense. We're going to get to an episode in a few episodes called Trespass. And C-3PO is there as a negotiator. That's his strong point. He's not fighting. He's not on a ship or anything. He's actually doing his job, but everyone's just let's bring C-3PO on this adventure. And I'm like, why?
And negotiating, yeah. I always wonder, ever since Star Wars, and even retroactively in the prequels, and they were mostly Empire, they were always Empire droids, but you would have those little balls that float around, the little, and look at things.
Yeah.
Why don't the Rebels make little, that would be the best thing for Padme to have with her, is just some little floating ball that could go do things. And when a flock of robots comes down the hall, it could just like bob up to the up into a corner in the ceiling and stay out of sight, you know, and look like a surveillance camera or something, you know. It would make a lot more sense. I always wondered why we didn't get more of those robots in Star Wars. They seem more practical than the ones that have to roll around on the ground and are constrained by gravity.
Maybe they're more expensive to make.
They must be, yeah.
But I guess, like, I understand, like, for the original trilogy, that it is Anthony Daniels in a suit, and he's having to, like, walk around and stuff. But I feel like, at least in the animation,
well,
like, C-3PO should be faster, because it's not a guy in a suit, it's just a computer.
Right, but you're so used to seeing the guy in the suit that he's not going to look right in the they sort of screw themselves on that, because they have to make the animation, you know, line up with what people are used to seeing with C-3PO, which is, you know, basically it looks like a guy, I guess there's no nicer way to put it, that looks like he's got a steel rod shoved up his ass and is a great deal of pain and just sort of walking around. And so I think they just have to, and I guess it's a form of comedy. I don't find it funny.
Yeah,
It's a form of comedy.
I like C-3PO when he's with R2-D2 and they're just talking and there's no action. But like when there's action, I just want someone to get behind C-3PO and just shove him. Just like just push him along. Yeah, though it is funny though when Obi-Wan can stops the monorail and he goes flying off the front of it.
Yes.
I was just like, yay, it's the fastest he will ever move, ever.
Yes, I do like that they are maintaining that C-3PO gets abused, basically. He's the whipping boy. He's annoying, so you get a little satisfaction of seeing him get smashed up every once in a while.
Yeah. I do have to say, I'm so happy to finally have Obi-Wan in an episode. We are, what, like 4 episodes in, and we actually finally have Obi-Wan doing stuff?
Yep, and, figuring into the story, and it's funny, you can tell that the voice actor isn't, you know, he's just starting to get into the role. As time goes on, he just becomes the character so much.
Mm-hmm. He's, God, I missed his sass.
Sass!
He's so sassy. He's like the cat from Homeward Bound, because her name is Sassy. Anyway.
Oh my god. I've never seen the movie of Homeward Bound. I remember reading the book. I remember reading the book when I was a little kid.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I think we read it in like 5th grade or something like that.
It is so 90s and so cheesy, but that end scene, like even just seeing GIF sets of that ending scene when they're all reunited, you can hear Shadow's voice in your head, and you just cry. You just cry. I'm getting teary just thinking about it. The whole, Peter. Shadow.
I love that you went from Obi-Wan to a cat in Homeward Bound.
Well, that's how my brain works. I'm sorry. Oh, by the way, it's a total side note. Thank you, Stephen Melching, for sending us a tweet about how to pronounce your name.
So it's
I wrote him and I was like, how do you say your name, your last name? Is it Melching? And he was like, yes, that's right. I was like, okay, thank you. Because I butchered it in our first 4 episodes.
What did you say?
I figured it was Melching. I figured it was. But you don't ever know with pronunciations nowadays. For all I know, it was like Melchang, like something like French.
Yes, you're
French,
right. Oh, like yeah.
It could be like Melching, or for all I know. Like, people pronounce their names weird. Like, you know. I had a friend who called me Hope, because in his language, they pronounce all vowels, so I was Hope. I was like, okay, I don't care.
That's hilarious.
He was Japanese, and like he was still kind of learning English, so he read my name, he was like, oh, Hope, and I was like, yeah, sure, why not?
Now I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. It was by the guys who did Super Troopers. It was their second movie.
Dodgeball? Uh-huh. No, that's not the same guys.
It was. They did Super Troopers.
I don't know, but I'm excited for Super Troopers, too.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad I got kickstarted.
Well, whatever. Their second movie was on an island, like a, you know, like a sort of paradise island, sort of retreat, sort of place. And there was a guy in there who pronounced a girl named Penelope's name Penelope, called her Penelope through the whole movie. And you could see her try to getting ready to correct him the first time. She's just like, ah, screw it. Yeah. I'm Penelope to this guy.
Yeah. And I do have to say, I love Obi-Wan and Anakin, that they're finally together, and their banter is at, like, 1,000% this episode. And the fact that Anakin, like, even though he's a Jedi Knight, he's still a Padawan to Obi-Wan. Like, he's always gonna be a Padawan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved that. Just like seeing how just their little banter in the ship, like flying to the malevolence. And he's like, well, how do you suspect to get in here? I'm forming a plan. What's your plan B? I don't know. I'll figure it out, Obi-Wan. Oh, we're going to die. We're going to die. Anakin's going to fly us into the ship.
Yeah, but at that point, Obi-Wan is just sort of, he's rolling his eyes, but at the same time, he knows it's pretty, he has faith that it's going to work out, you know, it's just, yeah. It's good-natured banter, he's not chiding him for not having a plan B, he knows he does have a plan B and just wants to rib him about it a little bit, but at that point, there's such a team that they know, well, whatever, we'll deal with it, and they probably will, and they do.
Yeah, but I just always love watching them together, especially like one-on-one. Because I love Ahsoka Banala. Ahsoka's here. It's hard to get just the two of them one-on-one now. And so it's like one of those rare moments. And I love them. And I know like it's later in the season. We'll have an episode with her. But I just want to give a shout-out that Luminara appeared. And Luminara is one of my favorite Jedi. Like, she's just so cool to me. And I love her.
Not in there for long, but there she is.
I know. I was just like, I forgot she was in the episode. And I was just like, ah, Luminara! Ah! I'm embarrassed. Oh, I can't wait till Barriss comes too. I like her as well. So watch season 5 and 6.
Okay. All right.
Did you have anything else for the second act?
No, that's pretty much all I had. I think this act is of all the so far of the whole season. This season is my favorite section of Clone Wars. It's the most Star Wars-y feeling. It's gotten a lot of characters mashed into that one, and it's got that centerpiece of the train chase on it that has like four different beats to it. You know, it's got a little romantic time with Anakin and Amidala and you know, some Obi-Wan and Grievous time and, you know, a lot of chasing and 3PO comedy. It's just got a little bit of everything.
Story time with Grievous.
Yes.
Okay, kid.
Scooch it.
Today we're going to read Bernstein Bears. Ow, my voice. All right, so Act 3. See, this was my favorite chunk. I liked this part of the episode most. Springing a trap, Grievous surrounds Obi-Wan in the hyperdrive area. Obi-Wan easily dismantles the trap and escapes. Padme and Anakin flee from the droids but lose their communication to Obi-Wan. Heading to the bridge, Anakin hotwires the ship for a surprise for Grievous. Obi-Wan and Grievous duke it out on the monorail system, but Obi-Wan is able to escape on a separate line. Our heroes meet at the twilight and flee from the malevolence. Knowing he's beat, Grievous escapes to his own vessel to try and shoot them down. The Republic fleet opens fire to aid our heroes. Padme mans the guns of the twilight to help. Engaging the hyperdrive, Anakin's trap is sprung. The malevolence plummets towards the nearby moon. Grievous turns tail and runs away. Our heroes have won the day. Woo! Woo!
There's a lot. I love this episode.
I love the whole. I wish Grievous and Obi-Wan's fight was a little bit longer on the monorail. I forgot how short it was. But to touch on your early note about, like, the animation and stuff like that and how, like, on the machines it looks so cool, there's that moment where Obi-Wan is crouched down between boxes and he's looking around, but his face is just a solid block. There's, like, no blinking. It's just no, like, he's just frowning and it's a solid block. There's not, like, there's no wrinkling eyebrows listening and his eyes aren't even moving. His head is just turning back and forth. The eyes aren't even moving. And that was the first time I really noticed. I was like, oh, yeah, this is rough.
Yeah, yeah. The technology gets better as it goes along. But
much, much better.
They were.
I have the same thing in season 2 with the deserter. There's a couple times where the clones take off their helmet, and I'm just like, oh, they're all square.
I love the little domestic scene between Padme and Anakin where, you know, basically, you know, he's like, I'm going to reprogram this and we have to hide this. So she's like, okay, so I clean up the droids. All right, I see.
Yeah.
I like that.
I love Anakin and Padme in this episode together. We so rarely see them in action, like, with each other. And I was thinking about it, and usually Padme is either fighting on her own or being rescued by Anakin. Like, they rarely work as a team, just the two of them, because she's either by herself or he's rescuing her. And so I love this episode, like, and her gun, I love the sound of her gun, like the plop, 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 like, I love her, the sound of her gun.
That's what's great about Star Wars, is they give people's guns their own person, you know, their weapons and ships, everything has its own personality. But, Yeah, they're like two people that are dating that work together. You know, they get along. You know, that rare bird when that happens. But you know, they're working it. They're doing their job. They're doing it well. But then they get a moment alone where they don't have anything to do, and it's like, let's make out.
All right, they're teenagers. They're the young couple.
It's when the train goes into the tunnel too.
Yeah,
the
like they're the young cliche, couple.
Romantic cliche.
I'll go into like when we get to Satine, like how Anakin and Padme are foiled to Obi-Wan and Satine, and Obi-Wan and Satine are the old married couple that biggers, mm-hmm. and like Anakin and Padme are the ones that like are trying to rip off each other's clothes secretly. Like they are nice foils to each other, but. And I love this Padme. She's smart, and she's kicking butt, and she's manning guns to fight back, and yep. She's just a lady after my own heart.
Yeah, she's the Padme we wanted in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, against Zero.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. Though, my favorite line of the episode is when Grievous shows up, he's just like, I have you, you're in a trap. Did you really think you would get away? And Obi-Wan was like, anything is possible. You certainly haven't impressed me today. That was my favorite line of the episode.
Well, Grievous is so easy to troll. He's easy to get pissed off and to lose his cool.
Can you imagine him at like a roast, like those like Justin Bieber, like those celebrity roasts, like that, like Justin Bieber and all them? Like you like get Grievous up there, and someone would tell one joke, and he would just cut off their head.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I mean, he would get up and be like, Justin Bieber is scum and should be, you know, he wouldn't even have jokes. He would just like say horrible.
No, like them roasting Grievous.
Well, I know, and then he would go sit down at the table, and you know, everybody has to go down the row before they get to the, you know, whoever is the main target of the roast. And yeah, when they got to the first person that got to Grievous would like get beheaded by a lightsaber, and everybody would skip him after that. Grievous, you're good.
I will say my other favorite part of the episode, that moment where like Dooku is calling Grievous,
yes.
and like Grievous just turns off the transmission,
hangs up on him.
And it reminds me of that scene from the Robot Chicken Star Wars special where like Vader was calling some stormtroopers and they just take a cup and just put it over Vader's transmission.
or just like somebody holding like the scene where anybody's holding the phone, they start going, I don't know, you're breaking up, and then hang up. They almost push it. I love that. But then even the droid, like, blows him in.
He's like, I think he hung up on you, sir.
Yeah, hey, sir.
You didn't text me back. Grievous, you didn't text me back.
Oh, man. Droids are such idiots in this show. I love the stooginess of droids. I love their lines. Now that they have more lines, they're just having fun making them have that sort of weaselly, wheedly, wimpy, dumb aspect of their voice. Or the, why do we have to? It's great. It wouldn't have flown in the movies. You know, in the movies it was a little over the edge for them to go Roger, Roger, uh-oh, and stuff like that. It was a little cheesy in the movies, but in this it plays great. You know, it's I want more of it. I'd love one like a Three Stooges episode that was just a comedy pratfall episode starring three ridiculous droids that, you know, work in the maintenance department or something. You know, it's our
hilarious. Yeah. Like you see like Jedi run by and they're like, Jedi,
you meatballs, it's our big chance to go fight Jedi.
We're gonna get promoted.
Yeah.
And then like they finally get promoted and the ship blows up and they're like, we just got promoted.
They somehow blow up the enemy ship by, you know, by mistake, and yeah, and they become generals.
So then like Mace Windu comes and he's like, you can have the ship, and they're like, we got the ship, and then it explodes.
Yes.
You can have it. Oh, what?
Any fan filmmakers out there, it's all yours.
Oh my god. Dave Filoni, let's talk serious for a second.
Oh.
Listen, man, we know that you're like the king of Star Wars, the Clone Wars, and we don't ask a lot, but if you could release like a 3-minute clip of maintenance droids, just a day in the lives of maintenance droids, we would love you forever. I mean, I already love you forever. If you wanted me to give you my soul, I would sign it in blood right now because you are a god. But that is our simple request to you.
And the longer we talk about the simple request, the more complicated it'll get. But I think they should do like the Three Stooges, except an orchestral somehow mix Three Blind Mice with the Clone Wars 3 theme for their...
Is this the episode where, like, the droid's running out with a fire hose and just starts flying through the air? This is that episode.
In black and white, and it, you know, meow, 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 and, you know, it's like, the three droids in, you know, Death Star damage or something like that, you know?
Oh, man. Well, did you have anything else from this episode?
Nope, that was, my biggest note was... I love how he hangs up on Dooku. And I knew his ship was doomed the second he's like, I'm going to go out in my own fighter. It's like, oh, that's how, you know, because they can't have Grievous crash with the ship. So he gets to put Darth Vader and slink back to wherever.
It's like in those rom-coms where, like, you have someone spying on somebody else and they're hiding in the bushes and they're calling and you see the person check their phone and then just put it back in their bag or something.
Yes.
Like, oh, they screened me. I just see Grievous, like, Dooku, like, eating ice cream, like, why did Grievous ignore me? I thought we were friends. I'm Christopher Lee. Oh, Christopher Lee, we love you. We miss you. So what were your final thoughts on the episode as a whole?
I loved it. It was pure Star Wars, and finally in the series, we pretty much had all of our, not all of them, but a good amount of the characters that are going to be our main characters all in play in one adventure. And I remember the first time through when it was playing, I was like, oh, they're doing another episode on this, on the Malevolence. But they managed to do, three completely different stories with this whole arc. And with the last one, bringing everything together. The only element this one lacked was the clones. You know, as far as like Clone Wars, you know, it didn't have Yoda. I don't think it had Mace Windu in it, but you know, they're sort of, I picture them as ancillary characters to it anyway. You know, they're characters from Star Wars, but they're just going to pop up here and there.
Yeah.
But this was like the first fully realized Clone Wars episode, I think, out of, you know, they've slowly been introducing the universe and how they're going to, the feel of the show and the characters. And this is the one where now we've sort of gotten everybody. We've sort of seen everybody do their thing. And I was just like, this is a great, like, this is almost like the end of the first act of Clone Wars, you know? And now we've got everybody and we can start doing adventures with everybody. They can start figuring out which characters are really popular with the fans and stuff and maybe focus more on them. But now we've got everybody, and we know what we know where they're at. And it only takes another step when character-wise, when they start adding like Mandalorians and stuff later on.
Mm-hmm. I never thought about that. Like, it is an arc, but they are three separate episodes. It's not like later on in the series where you have a 3 or 4 part arc, but every arc is a cliffhanger because you have to watch them all together. Like, I didn't think about it that way.
These are like three different parts with just the Malevolence sort of holding them together.
Yeah. What would you rate the episode?
I would give this one... This one's probably my first 9 out of 10. I really like this one.
Nice! I thought it was a great episode. It was action-packed for the final Malevolence arc. It's great to finally see Obi-Wan in action. Like, finally! God! Took long enough. Padme is strong throughout the entire episode, and to follow up for the final time, the question I asked you last time... If you didn't see the movie and this was your first time seeing Padme in the Clone Wars, what would you think of her? And I personally, she's a shining star. I love her.
Oh, I would I would be much happier because this is the Padme from episode 2. This is a Padme from the arena that, you know, is not waiting for the Jedi to get her loose, but is, you know, actively defending herself and working with them. That's why I would think that's one of the reasons why I would almost rather have had this be the movie, because in the movie she was just sort of thrown in at the end and did not get to kick any ass. In this, she gets to kick plenty of ass and
she gets to have little domestics with Anakin.
And with Anakin, but it's nice because it's when they're in the, you know, it's the honeymoon is not over yet.
Yeah.
So. You know, there's...
Did they ever get a honeymoon? Like, I've pondered that several times. Like, when did they find time to conceive Luke and Leia? Like, they are always like, hey, let's have a date night. Oh, I'm getting called away.
Yeah, no, they got to conceive Luke and Leia, you know, in a tunnel in between adventures. You know, in a ten minute...
on the monorail the Malevolence.
Yeah, we got 10 minutes, you know.
Let's do it.
It was probably quite exciting. They were young and, you know, they're hyped up on adrenaline from battling droids, and then 10-15 minutes and then back battling droids.
I just imagine like Anakin going, Padme, the Zillo Beast is here. It's on the other side of the city. We have 15 minutes.
15 minutes, baby. Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah, thanks, Zillo Beast. Take your time.
Yep.
Like, meanwhile, the Zillo Beast is outside, like picking up taxi cabs and like shoveling people in its mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's
like, where's Anakin? Where is he? Anakin, come in. I'm busy.
Yeah, well, every time they see Anakin or Padme, you know, coming in to fight something, they're always sweaty and, like, combing back their hair. What's up? Now what's going on?
Where's your shoes?
Oh, shit, my shoes. Oh, wow.
Be back. How long will it take you to get your shoes? 5 minutes? Let's go. I'll go with you. Anyway, I gave the episode an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. I figured it would get lower than me because lots of Grievous and no clones.
Well, I mean, also, it was actually C-3PO that brought it down, so.
Always.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually okay with Grievous in this one because he is failing on purpose. It's not like... he's not great, and that's okay.
I like him when he's winning and losing. He's just great I just love the character. He's ridiculous. He's over the top in all the ways I like.
And I like Obi-Wan with Ventress more than I like him with Grievous.
Well, I think Ventress is an all-around better, like, has a better character to her than Grievous. So she's more interesting than Grievous. Grievous, to me, is just interesting in a toy come to life sort of way. And I love his voice. And I love that he's just like, he's all badass robot, but he's messed up, you know, It was Mace Windu who messed him up in the original Clone Wars cartoon, the Tartakovsky one. There's like it was a scene when he was taking Palpatine away before, you know, the beginning of Episode 3, and as he's climbing up into the ship, you know, Mace Windu tries to crush him with the Force and only like crushes basically his lungs.
Huh.
So that is when you see in Episode 3 when he's like on the ship when he's just newly injured. That's why he's coughing and all messed up. Mace Windu crushed all the metal around his lungs and windpipe and stuff. I love stuff like that.
I did not know that.
I wish he was a chain smoker. That would be even better. A cigarette in each arm, just like rotating cigarettes into his mouth. Blowing smoke in people's faces and stuff like that. That's never going to happen. And it's double never going to happen now that Disney owns Star Wars. But
yeah,
I mean, Marvel won't even show people smoking in Daredevil. So
yeah,
I can't believe I'm retroactively calling for Grievous to be a smoker. But yeah, that's about all I got for this episode. It was a great one.
I really like this one too. So where can people find you, Chris?
As always, you can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where we have all our freaking podcasts. And I keep forgetting that, like, I have an outro that tells a lot of the things about the Amazon site, but I can never say enough about the Amazon site, which you can link to from twotruefreaks.com. I just got the notice today, 90 days before our host runs out and we have to pay again.
Oh.
Well, that happens every year.
To help us.
Yes, and that's what the Amazon site does. It basically helps pay for the hosting costs of Two True Freaks. So if you click through it, you can order stuff, and you're just ordering your stuff like you normally do through Amazon, and they give us a tiny little percentage, but it adds up, and it usually takes care of all our overhead for the year, which is awesome, because if it didn't, we're all poor.
Yeah. Well, people can find me. Well, actually, you can find both me and Chris, mm-hmm. but it's mostly me. At JGuysandJedi on Twitter. That's our Twitter, and you can also find me at Hope Molinax. And I write for What the Fangirl, where I do Clone Wars season reviews, and I actually just wrote a review today. Well, not a review, but a blog about Leia coming to Rebels, which is news today, but by the time this episode comes out, the episode will already be aired, so it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I just found out, I just figured out today when I saw the date of the release of the that episode that it coincides with the release of the second episode of JGuysandJedis.
I'm so excited. I can't wait till we're weekly because I keep having, like, I'm just like, I want to talk about this, but I can't.
I've already had people, like, IMing me going, like, how often is this going to come out? And that's something, yeah, that's something we never really talked about in the show, but we're going to go bi-weekly for a little while, and we're recording multiple episodes, so as we when we get a nice big you know, pile of back episodes, that, and then we'll can comfortably go weekly. Because if we don't go weekly with this show, you know,
it's gonna take us forever.
Could be 60 years old by the time we, you know, someday we'd like to start. We'd like to move away from Clone Wars and into Rebels. By that time, Rebels will be like on season 6 too. You know, so we'll just be signing on for another few years.
And the real reason, also, like, just so if we need to take a week off, we can.
Right.
We want to, under our belt. Like, for, like, this weekend, I'm going away for the weekend, so I won't be able to, we won't be able to record this coming week, so.
Right. Monthly shows give you a lot of play with, like, recording time and stuff like that. A weekly show is a hard thing to maintain. But, you know, Hope and I, we're rugged individualists.
Oh my God!
We start something, we finish it. So
I'm so ready to talk about rookies.
Well, and it also helps that I've had people say, "Oh, I just started watching Clone Wars," or "Oh, I'm gonna start watching along with you guys." So now that I'm even more, you know, it makes you more committed.
So we also record all of our episodes, like several episodes at once, and we're about to record for Rookies, and I want to record for Rookies so bad, Chris. Come on.
All right, so let's...
I love you guys. I'm glad you're listening to us. Thank you for listening to us, but I really want to talk about Rex. And for you lovely people, you're probably going to have to wait a week or two for me to talk about Rex. So here's your preview. Rex! I'm so excited. So until next time, may the Rexy clones be with you.
Oh.
Ew, take a drink. Bye, guys. Oh, my God. I need to refill my coffee.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2 True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2 True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2 True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email 2TrueFreaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2TrueFreaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2TrueFreaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2TrueFreaks on Facebook. Just search for 2TrueFreaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2TrueFreaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.